What is going on, podcast listeners? Neil here for another episode. I got my boy Donald on. How you doing, Don?
Hey, pretty good, Neil. Thanks so much for having me on. Good to
welcome back, sir.
Yeah, good to see you here in 2024.
Absolutely. Dude, I think last time we did it was... So Don has been on the podcast before. I think it was 2022. And I definitely wanted him on because this guy just moved so fast and there's so many cool updates. So I'm excited to have Don on. Quick background for Donald. We've known each other. We've never met each other in person, but we've known each other for almost a decade now, which is kind of funny. Don, do you want to explain how we know each other from back in the day?
Yeah. So, you know, I'll go into myself a little later, but yeah, the cleaning business, you know, part of the mafia, the, the entourage.
Yep. Yeah. And Don, tell us a little bit about your background, man. So from where you started to where you are now, if you just want to dive into it, I think it's a fascinating story and a lot of pieces to get into there.
Yeah, absolutely. So my entire premise since I was a preteen was wanting to have ownership of my own business. And it wasn't necessarily, you know, I want to be an entrepreneur. It was more so I didn't necessarily want to work for someone else. But I think even before specifically, I don't want to work for someone else. It was like, I want control of my destiny. When I started working, I went to University of Wisconsin-Madison for a year, dropped out after a year, and ended up in sales. My first job was selling Cutco knives to to some of my friend's parents.
Yep.
So, you know, I went pretty hard with that. I sold $300,000 worth of those darn knives.
Are they still around, by the way, Donald?
They're just
a still great, same model.
Yeah.
I would love to see like a correlation between the people who've done Cutco knives and maybe it's like college painting, if you know about that, and like success in life. I feel like it's pretty, there's got to be some correlation over there. And for everyone listening, these are like, I don't know, they target younger college kids to go kind of door to door and do sales for different things. One's painting, one's for knives, but it's a very common scheme. I don't know how to describe it. It's not a scheme. It's like something.
It's a scheme. It's a
Yeah.
You know, the one thing I'll say is the products are high quality, right? Every time I go to a friend's house and I see their mom, they're like, I still got the knives.
Yeah.
The knives are still so good.
Yeah.
And it's actually Kanye West's first job.
No way. Interesting.
Of all things, yeah.
All right.
He's arguably successful, even though not the type of success I like.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, started off doing that. Worked some sales, regular sales job after that. And one of the big things I realized very early on was how much I didn't like someone else just honestly controlling whether I eat or not based off of, you know, how they felt I was doing in terms of whether I'm doing a good job or not.
Right.
What I sort of realized later on was, you know, working a job basically, like a guy, Rohan Gilk from Cleanings, the other day, it's like, you're already in business for yourself. You just have one client, right? You have to sell yourself for that one client, whoever hired you. And if you don't keep the relationship happy, then you lose your one client and you're out of work. And so whenever I had a job, I worked a total of 7 years combined. You know, unfortunately for my employers, I always treated the job like a side job, and I was always trying to work on some type of business on the side.
Yeah.
And so my last job, which was in ended in July 2011, I was unceremoniously fired, and I was truly not ready for it. You know, barely had anything in the bank, hadn't gotten a business really going yet. And I was actually pretty comfortable in that particular job. I was sales, but it wasn't particularly hard. I was making good money. And the expectation was that I'd be there a few more years while really trying to build a cushion and really getting out. But again, with that unexpected sort of scenario, it was so angering to me at the time that the day I got fired and the day, the way that it sort of worked out, I literally said out loud to everyone there, as well to myself, as well to my partner at the time, this is the last MFing job I'm ever going to have in my entire life. and, you know, just, I was so dead serious. I was so like,
yeah.
And, you know, it ended up being that way, right?
Yeah.
A couple months later, I linked up with a friend. We were basically partnered up on a company called Rentobo. It was in Y Combinator, class of 2011 boot camp. And that was a pretty cool tool. It was a relationship management platform. It allowed landlords that were sort of do-it-yourself to manage the entire process online. So,
gotcha.
So that got me into full-time entrepreneurship.
What'd you realize? Like, I mean, I'm sure you're doing side hustles and stuff along the way, but how did it feel when you were working for yourself full-time?
Well, you know, in the sort of startup environment when you're venture-funded, it felt a bit like a project.
Yeah.
Because I didn't feel free yet.
Yeah.
You know, we're working on something, but we're funded by other people. And so when you're venture funded, that also feels like a sort of a job. It's
kind of like a job, yeah.
You know, if you don't do well enough, if you don't basically accomplish certain things, you might not make it to the next round. And until the company is solvent and really sustainable, you know, what do you really have other than a temporary situation?
Yep.
So I honestly didn't start to feel any security until about a year and a half into doing that. I had time. I wanted a second source. So I was looking around on Reddit and I found Rohan Gill post. And so, you know, 3 weeks after discovering that, I had the domain bought and a website built for Companion Maids.
How, and for everyone listening, this is the same place I originally found out about the concept of a cleaning company, which is on Reddit when I was supposed to be working and I was not working. I was just on Reddit looking at stuff. And Donald and I started our cleaning companies around the same time. Donald, I'm curious, when you started Companion Maids, how quickly did you start cash flowing? Or how quickly did you start making money?
Well, so, I mean, my startup costs were $50.
So, yeah.
you know, I had just earlier that year figured out how to piece together a WordPress site.
Yeah.
And I actually made more money from that site in the beginning. Right when I finished it was a good looking site. Rohan complimented me. He was like, man, you're up in the game. I made it look as good, I think, as his site at the time, which was Maids in Black. And so I posted on Reddit, hey, if you want me to build you a site for your cleaning company and that entrepreneur ride along, $500 a pop. And 50 people took me up on that.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. I don't think that would happen now. It's a different time.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, gave some cash. And, but the very first cleaning job with the very first day, but the very first booking was our first sort of submission on Thumbtack.
Got it. Yeah.
You know, the first one. But of course, that first job, the cleaner that we hired didn't show up.
Yeah, go figure.
You know, and so, you know, we just had to figure it out from there. We found a boyfriend girlfriend team that worked pretty well for a few months, and we were really pushing it on Yelp. And it took us, it was our fifth month that we got to $10,000 a month in revenue.
All right. Fifth month. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because in our franchise, that's kind of the goal. We have a 10K per month program where we try to get people as fast as possible to that. And the one thing you realize, like, look, whether you're in a franchise or not, I think at the beginning is the beginning for everyone. There's a grind phase. Like, you can't get out of that. That's just kind of how things work. So yeah, that's kind of what we're seeing as well, is you one benchmark, 10K per month, and then scale up from there. And the speed of that would be different. But at the beginning, doesn't matter if you're a startup, doesn't matter if you're in a franchise, it's still the grind phase. It's typically what we're seeing.
And to be honest, again, you know, Y Combinator is a fantastic opportunity. You know, so many people try to get into it. And there's that. But like we were saying earlier, I did not feel free until we got to about that point with the cleaning business. And it sort of felt like, you know, instead of someone telling me, hey, your business is good enough to be funded, and we'll see what happened, this was us starting something from the ground up and validating it with real clients and revenue. And so the Rentobo, even though we did build it up and get acquired, it felt a bit like maybe a one-off, a fluke, where the cleaning thing, as simple as a concept as that was, made me feel legitimate as like a business person.
Can you tell me, let's dive into that a little bit. You mentioned until you got to that point, then you felt a little bit more free. What about reaching the milestone? Because you're not pulling in a crazy amount of cash at that point, but there's something that flips in your mind. What is it?
Yeah. So again, from the beginning, you know, money is oftentimes the first motivator or a later motivator. For me, it sort of went up and down. But when I really got down to like the brass tacks of it, it was like, I just want control over my life. And I have a mantra now that I definitely didn't realize or acknowledge at the time what it was, which is to make enough money to have complete control of my time and make enough money to enjoy it. And, you know, like the control of my time is the first and most important part. and so my requirement, you know, I was single, no kids, no pets. My requirement at the time was around $3,000 a month in income.
Yeah.
So once we hit that, an income, I was free. And then, of course, immediately, like, okay, I want to make $5,000 a month. Then immediately, I want to make $10,000 a month. And then at 10, you start to feel like really legit. But the point is, I was free at $3,000 a month.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like the freedom numbers I call it. That's around the number I quit my job as well. I said, all right, I've covered my expenses. This is enough. It's funny because like I always mention this, how every time I ask prospects, hey, how much money do you want to make? They're like, I want to either replace my income before I quit my job, or I need to make $10,000 per month. It's funny. It's like, that's the most common scenario, but you're totally right. Having that time freedom is probably worth more than anything. And you don't need that much income coming in to have that pure control over your schedule.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, the reason why it's 10K is because that's a number that you can advertise to other people. Oh yeah, when I made $10,000 a month, and then no one can really give you crap for it.
But, yeah.
You know, the reality is that, again, if you don't have serious obligations, I know a lot of you guys do, your numbers can be different. But whatever your obligations are, once you meet and exceed that with a business that like you're pretty darn certain it definitely or almost definitely going to hit that month after month, right?
Yep.
When you have like a secure, consistent income level at whatever your thing is, that's when you're free.
Yep. Yep. And that's where I typically recommend going all in, right? Because you're just going to grow that much faster. Yep. Don, tell me about what came later. So quite a few things happened. You exited the business. You started this call center thing. Now you're doing big things around that. Can you walk me through what happened after you started and scaled your cleaning company?
Yeah. So the cleaning company, the nice thing about it is that I did it with my dad. I technically started it alone, but my dad and I always wanted to try something together. So I brought him in maybe 3 months in. And we were 50-50, and it was just a fantastic experience doing the father and son thing. I'm a dreamer. To this day, he's a dreamer like me. And so that was nice.
Cool.
Eventually, I got... You know, I didn't want to deal with the day-to-day as much. And so I had my dad dealing with the day-to-day. I dealt with finances, systems, and, you know, basically macro things. And so one of the things was we had a lot of calls coming in after about a year and a half. And I was sick of answering the phone. You know, like after a while, it's not cool anymore. It's like I'm dealing with the phone. So
yeah.
So I looked into some option for call answering, and it was actually an article on a fellow woman named Jill Nelson. I just wrote about it on my Twitter, that had built a pretty significant virtual receptionist company, a call center, like a fancy answering service.
Mm-hmm.
And I got just enough out of that sort of series of a few articles to realize, you know, this might be something that I can reverse engineer. I did some napkin math. And I was like, you know what? Nobody's doing this for cleaning companies yet that I'm aware of, exclusively.
Yeah.
So I found another cleaning business mafia guy. And we teamed up. And I think maybe a week after I figured maybe I could do this, we had a launch date. And that was 2 months later. And we launched on that day, which was January 1st, 2015.
And that was the Vicky Virtual Call Center. It was the next business you started. Cool. Mm-hmm. And then how much did you scale that to?
So that was, I mean, that worked out incredible, right? Our first 95% of our first like 50 clients were cleaning companies. We had built some SEO inadvertently. Honestly, some of it was accidental. And we just started getting sign up from people in other industries. By the time I bought Micah out, that partner after a year, when we were around 50, 60 clients. And by the time I sold the company, which was October 2019, we were around 1,300 clients in 40 different industries.
Jeez.
So it was really significant.
It boomed.
Yeah. And
Don, walk me through this a little bit. Because like, I know when I was first trying to find what business I was going to start, eventually started a cleaning company. But the hardest question is like, what's the best mousetrap? What's the best business to start, right? Like, should I do this? Should I do this? And the thing is, there's so many options. And even now, there's probably more because now everyone's getting targeted with ads on YouTube, on Instagram, saying, start this and start this. And sometimes, like, I think with brand new entrepreneurs, that's the hardest place to be, right? Once you make a decision, there's unlimited ways of making money. But if you are in the indecision phase, it's really, really tough. But you seems like you kind of just made a decision like, hey, I'm just going to do this call center. Why? Like, what made you think this is a good idea? And what was the mindset going into this?
Well, you know, and this is, I'm not kidding, a first way I'm going to explain it this way. So I graduated high school in 2003. And again, at the time I was looking for businesses. And the only stuff out right there was like very old school gurus that were like, you know, having courses on how to stuff keywords on a page and like there was nothing. They weren't even talking about drop shipping really then. eBay was like the only real thing. Amazon wasn't the way it is. WordPress barely existed. Facebook wasn't really existed yet. Nothing really existed. And so I had round one of trying to find an opportunity online in like 2003 to like 2005. Couldn't find anything. And so I was working jobs and I tried some just ridiculous things that were never going to work. The information availability sort of expanded, I would say, you know, by 2009, 2010-ish. Mm-hmm. And so that sort of second round of me really intensely searching, you know, with a sort of a bit more experience, a bit more age, some mistakes made. And in that context, it made it easier for me to decipher and figure out what is a bit more viable versus what is just any way I can make any money, please God, please anything. And so in the context of like really looking at things that could be viable, that seemed like they fit the attributes of what I was looking for. I wanted location independent. I want a decent salary, and I wanted something that was, I didn't have to be too innovative. Like it was an obvious thing. I just had to go in to compete. So those were the parameters
for the decision-making.
Yeah. I mean, it was really simple with that. And I can't get into all of them in this interview, but over between the years of 2011 and today, I have incorporated 22 companies, 20 of which have gotten to at least one employee or more on the payroll. And so I tried all kinds of stuff. You know, I even had three different cleaning companies. And, you know, I found call centers to be nice because they weren't specifically sort of location independent or dependent. I like your model and I like what you're doing with the franchise because you're sort of teaching people, yes, you can be in a certain location in terms of where you service, but you can still do it completely remotely.
Right.
And so my cleaning company was in Chicago. I felt a bit more like I had to be attached to it geographically, but, you know, that certainly wasn't the case with in reality, and it was definitely not the case in terms of doing a call center.
Yeah, gotcha. No, I like that. I mean, you kind of reverse engineered your ideal lifestyle and pick business models which serve it, which I think is, in my opinion, the best way to do it. A lot of people just think, how can I make the most money fastest? And then I'm going to do that. But then guess what? You might be stuck with a lifestyle you really don't like. And the truth is, there's so many ways of making money. You might as well set the right parameters you want from the beginning.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people too, especially like in product and drop shipping, they might get a nice little hit or a nice win, a nice boost. They'll, you know, have a Christmas campaign to do $300,000-$500,000 in sales and they nailed it. But then come January, February, they're doing $50,000 in sales or the product is no longer viable and they couldn't, you know.
Yeah, they keep finding new products. Yeah.
Yeah. And so a lot of times, you know, plenty of successful e-commerce guys out there. But in terms of the next 15 to 20 years consistently, you have to constantly innovate. You have to constantly be there with that next thing that's going to hit.
Yeah.
Whereas in the service business, the entire purpose is doing the same thing over and over again.
Yep.
Yes, there's innovation. There's some level of cutting edge to a certain extent. But the point is doing the same thing and doing it well for 20 years straight.
Yeah. Right? If
you go to a pizza place and they change the color of the box, it's like, what the hell is this? You know? If Nike, one of the largest companies on the planet, if they decided not to release a new product for 2 years straight, they would be out of business.
Yeah.
So well said. Not having to innovate every single day was also something that I wanted. And, you know, so simple service businesses are the way to go.
Yeah. Don, tell me about what you're doing now, man. You're doing some exciting things. So from what I know, you had Vika Virtual, exited it. You have a pretty awesome course and community called Call Center Cash, where you teach people how to start their own call center. And now you're actually proving it out yourself, right? In a kind of a bigger way. This is like your third or fourth generation, your iteration of you going through the call center realm. Tell me about what you're doing right now.
Yeah. So I mentioned two rounds of sort of soul searching for businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
When, again, you know, it was pretty obvious that the call center was something that I needed at the time as a cleaning company. And then, you know, we knew a bunch of other cleaning business owners that needed it. And so it's like, oh, well, this is obvious. Let's figure it out.
Right.
I was fortunate enough to figure it out, but a lot of people aren't, especially if it's their first thing and they don't have prior experience. And again, when I was looking, there was nothing. When I sold my company, again, it was 2019, going into 2020, Rohan had actually just released content, paid content on cleaning companies. And he did very well with that. And I looked again, and there was still no content on call centers. So I ended up starting, you know, creating literally the first and to this day, the only course on how to start a virtual receptionist company. And I created some YouTube video. I created something that I wish I had when I was
little.
Right. And so, you know, that hasn't been a full-time thing. You know, when I sold Vicky Virtual, I honestly just wanted to chill out. And for a little while, I thought I was done, to be honest. You know, after investing Angel Ling and chilling out, I ended up at a cannabis event where one of the guys on stage, a panelist, was like, hey, as operators in this space, there aren't people around to serve us well. We have no choices for any of our vendor relationships. No one wants to work and touch cannabis. So light bulb went off. Why not a call center? Went up to a panelist and said, hey, you know, how's the call center option looking within the industry?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not aware of any. And this is a top guy, CFO of the second largest company on the planet in weed. And he was like, I'm not even aware of a call center that serves exclusively cannabis companies. If you're serious, let's talk. Ended up being our first client, first investor, and part of the advisory board. So now today,
wow.
You know, I run a company called Call Canna, and that's my main thing. It's just a call center serving cannabis companies. So, you know, again, it fits everything. And the thing we did differently this time with Vicky Virtual is all U.S.-based agents. This time we're using all international agents.
Mm.
It's just way better. Obviously, it's cost efficient, but a caliber of people has been better too.
Yeah. No, I love that. I mean, like, it's a simple model. You're utilizing global talent to service a local market. You could still maintain all the things you want in your lifestyle, location freedom, time freedom, control over your schedule. And I think it provides all of that. And honestly, riches are in the niches, right? But the cool part, like with what I'm sure you're done with, if you're going to invest in stuff, you're probably going big with it. Many times with local services, if you get a handful of clients, especially for something like call centers, that's kind of all you need. Like, you don't need thousands of clients. You typically need maybe a few dozen or a couple hundred. It's not that much to have a pretty sizable business. But Don, sounds like you're going big with this one.
Oh, I'm going big. I'm going big. We're growing faster than Vicky Virtual was, so that's good. We're profitable. And you are right. I think from when you're building these things in general, one of the important things is if you want to ever have an exit, you want to build value for potential investors and, you know, acquiring targets,
right,
acquisition targets. And so in doing that, the value is not just in revenue, it's in, of course, profitability, but also how bulletproof, how strong is that revenue, right?
Yeah.
If you have two big clients, great. It's better to have 20 or say 200 clients that are bringing the same amount of revenue. Those 200 clients are significantly more solid for the company, and it'll give you a better multiple. It'll put your potential investors or acquirers at ease.
Yeah, I love it. Dom, thanks so much for hopping on, dude. And if anyone wants to find you, how could they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so I'm trying to grow my Twitter following this year.
All right.
I want to be like Neil over here. So DT Span, S-P-A-N-N, that's at DT Span on Twitter. Or there is some great content on my YouTube channel regarding, again, the course on starting a call center. And that channel is at Call Center Class. So, you know, feel free to check either of those things out.
And all of those will be in the show notes as well. Don, thanks so much for hopping on, dude. That was awesome.
Oh, happy to help.